Birthing from the Inside Out is a place where we gather to talk about how pregnancy and birth transform us. I'm your host, Shannon Backus, certified birth doula and childbirth educator for over 10 years. I hope you'll grab a cup of coffee and join us for fun, gritty, and educational conversations all about birth. From detailed birth stories to insights from birth professionals and birth-related services, each episode will help you evaluate just how transformed by birth you've been from the inside out. Disclaimer, this podcast does not provide medical advice or diagnoses. All content is for educational purposes only. Seek the advice and recommendations of your medical practitioner. On today's episode, I'm joined by my guest Becky, who shares her experience of having a preterm birth and two full-term births. She takes us on her journey through the NICU, her experience of having postpartum depression, and a redeeming birth experience that completed their family. We know birth changes us from the inside out, so join me as we encounter just how transformed Becky has been by birth.
When I had Quinn, they immediately put her up onto my chest, and she was just the sweetest little baby. I think it was also the first time where I had those feelings of instant love, where I hadn't had that before. When she got into my arms, it was like, oh my gosh, I love this baby with all of my heart. And was instant connection.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Birthing from the Inside Out. And today I'm really delighted to have my guest Becky on the show. Becky, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why don't you go ahead and just jump right in. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are.
My name's Rebecca. Everyone calls me Becky. I am a wife and I have three kids and one in heaven. I am a homeschool mom and I stay at home with my kids. Never thought I would, but here I am.
And where are you located, Becky?
I am over in the West Lafayette, Indiana area, but I'm from Illinois. I've had two of my children in Illinois and one in Indiana.
That's really good to know. Okay, awesome. Well, why don't you just begin and start telling us about your birth stories?
I got pregnant with Abraham, my first one, just like a month or so after we got married. We wanted to have a baby really badly right away. We didn't want to wait. So we jumped right in after getting married. For me, I have never wanted to have children. I've always been a tomboy. I played, you know, basketball in college. I had plans that I was going to even remain single for a long time and travel the world, do whatever mission. I was really into mission, doing mission work and stuff. And after my trip to Uganda, when I met Mark, that was it for me. I met Mark and then I was like, I need to have this man's babies. And so anyway, got pregnant with Abe, had a really healthy pregnancy, no complications except for a crippling morning sickness. I had morning sickness 24/7. I could not keep anything down. I was losing like 5 pounds a week while I was pregnant with him the first 20 weeks. I lived off of banana popsicles and potatoes. If I could keep it down. So really, really healthy pregnancy, nothing to complain about. It went really well. It was really enjoyable. I felt really great as far as the morning sickness. Abe came early at 34 weeks and one day.
Okay. And were you guys back in the United States at this time or were you?
Yes, I was living in Illinois. We chose Champaign to have the baby. And so it was an hour drive for us to get to a provider. I should say to get to a midwife. At the time, there wasn't really anything by us for midwifery. And so we chose to drive an hour for our birth. And I also had a doula at the time with our first one. And when I went early, I woke up in the middle of the night at 34 weeks one day and was just in pain. And I had no idea. You know, first baby, you have no idea like what contractions feel like or what's going on really. I just knew I was in pain and it was coming in waves. I was really scared because I was only 34 weeks along. And I I kind of struggled with it for a little bit on my own, up and down to the bathroom. And then I woke Mark up and I said, something's wrong. And we called the doula and she said, why don't you go ahead and call the hospital and ask them what to do? And so I called labor and delivery and told them what was going on. And the nurse said, well, do you feel like you should come in? And I said, I do. I really do. And she was like, okay, well, we'll be waiting for you. So we left the house probably, oh, it was like maybe two in the morning. And we drove to Champaign and we got to the hospital. I walked up to labor and delivery and got to the room and got checked, and I was 8 centimeters already.
Wow.
So I had labored in the car, labored, like I walked into the room and they were just like, how are you even walking right now? And I was like, I don't know, I feel fine. So I actually had a male midwife as well, which was really uncommon. He came in and he was like, you're going to have this baby. Here we go, you know. And so they got me, like, it just went from like 0 to 100 really fast. Like mm-hmm. all these people were coming in because I'm only 34 weeks, a bunch of doctors, a bunch of nurses. The NICU was there, ready to get the baby. And I just remember, you know, when it was time to push, I was pushing and pushing. And my midwife was on the bed at the end of the bed and I was pushing. And then there was this loud pop and my water exploded. It exploded all over my midwife's face, all over the back wall and all over the floor. It was crazy. And then it was just like a few more pushes and Abe was here. And they took him away right away. They clipped the cord, took him over, were working on him. And then they brought him over to me. I got to hold him for like 30 seconds. And then they just rushed him off. And he was taken to the NICU. I had like a couple stitches. And then just began that terrible, any other NICU moms will know what I'm saying when I say just this terrible recovery of your child is in the NICU and you still have to heal. And you are, you know, I lived out of my car for 3.5 weeks because Abe was in the NICU for 25 days after we had him. And so I lived like out of my car. I lived out of the guest house in Champaign and then like driving back and forth, and all while Mark had to go back to work. And, just, you know, pumping while I'm sitting in the NICU and dealing with all of those things that you deal with. And that was really hard. Like that was a really hard introduction to motherhood. Mm-hmm. And it was really lonely. And cause I mean, you're there, you're only allowed so many visitors to come into the NICU ever. Like you have 4 people on your list that can come in and nobody else. So it was really tough, but as far as like the labor part, I mean, it was super fast, super easy. He was 6 pounds even when he came out, and now he is a strong, healthy, almost 9-year-old. So he's doing really well.
6 pounds is a good size for a 34.
Yes. Week. Yes. They were That's saying great. That he probably would have been a little bit on the bigger side if he had gone full term.
When he was born, did he come out breathing or did they have to resuscitate him?
He did come out breathing. He did have a lot of episodes, though, after where he would stop breathing. He would turn gray and they would have to revive him. There was even some times where I would be holding him and he would just turn gray and the nurse would rush over and grab him and, you know, have to resuscitate him and kind of, you know, wake him up and everything. And they also took my placenta and they sent it for labs to find out why I delivered early, because everything was so healthy. And they did find that there was an infection in the lining of the placenta and my body was aborting the infection. And so that's why I went into labor.
And while you were in the NICU, Becky, were you able to nurse him, or because of his breathing issues, did they ask you to just pump and supplement that way?
Yeah, because of his breathing issues, it made it really hard to breastfeed because it's just so overwhelming for them being preemies. But they, of course, like I worked with a lactation consultant and we did try a lot to get him to nurse. He just never took to it. It just never happened for him. But I did pump and he was exclusively on breast milk for 15 months.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Way to go. Amazing yeah. job. That's not an easy feat.
Yeah, I also donated during Abe's infancy. I donated to two other babies.
Incredible.
I had so much milk that I was able to share the wealth.
I love that you were able to overcome that challenge of him not being able to nurse and to just do what you needed to do to get your baby fed. That's really incredible. Thanks for
yes,
sharing.
Yes, I always say fed is best. Yes. So whatever you have to do to feed them is what you should do.
And Becky, can we back up? I just want to ask you, what drew you to midwifery care? What kind of inspired you to want to travel all of that way to utilize midwifery model of care?
Well, I am a researcher. And when something comes along in my life and I need to make a decision, I do a serious deep dive. When I got pregnant with Abe, I wanted to do what was best. The best statistics out there, the best care, whatever I could find. And just with talking with an aunt of mine who I'm really close to, she is very crunchy, I would say. And, you know, we talked about midwives and compared to doctors and things. And I also read a book that was recommended to me that was written by a midwife. She's like one of the most popular midwives. She's super old now. I cannot remember the name of that book.
Ina May's Guide to Childbirth.
Yes, that's the one.
Yep.
I read that book and I was like, I need a midwife.
It's literally a life-changing book.
Yes, I highly, highly recommend it. I actually buy copies of it to give to people who are expecting. So anyway, so I was like, I need to find a midwife. Couldn't find one where I was. And the hospital that was in my town is really small. And I mean, the stories that come from that place were very scary. And the doctor who I knew was there at the time was somebody I did not want to work with because they have a terrible reputation. Mm-hmm. And so I sought care far away to be able to have the best. And, you know, you go into it thinking, I'm going to have a healthy pregnancy, I'll be fine. I have plenty of time to get there. If I had waited any longer at home, I would have had him at home or in the car.
Absolutely.
On the way there. Mm-hmm. So it really was the best for us. And I loved that it's so natural. Midwifery is very much like the mother is the boss. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are going to do what they want, what's best, but also guide them with medical decisions. You know, when there's an emergency, there's things. I was still at a hospital and could get that care. Like for Abe, he needed to go to the NICU right away. It just worked best for us and what we wanted and our goals for labor and delivery.
And do you want to share your second birth story with us?
Yes. So then Henry, between Abe and Henry, I had a bout of infertility and we could not get pregnant. We tried and tried and it was years. And I ended up getting pregnant a couple years after Abe. I lost that baby probably around 8 weeks along, so a miscarriage. I delivered that baby at 8 weeks by myself, home alone in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. My husband was at work and my oldest was playing upstairs. And that was rough. That wrecked me. That was a very, very dark time. Mm-hmm. And just losing that baby really was like, I actually contemplated like, maybe I just want to have Abe and then be done. Because I don't know if I could go through this again and survive. So after we lost that baby, it took a while before we got pregnant again. We actually went on a mission trip to Uganda together, Mark and I. And a lot of my friends that were there, they prayed over us, our Ugandan friends. to be able to conceive and have another baby. And when we got home, we got pregnant. I really feel like that pregnancy is a miracle to me. Mm. And my second pregnancy with Henry, it was another normal pregnancy. Everything's going great. I had the morning sickness, not as bad as my first. We were worried that I would go early again. And this time I was with a midwife that was a little bit closer to home, only 30 minutes away. I was able to find somebody closer at a different hospital. And they were worried, like, they didn't want me to go early again. So I did get the steroid shots before I delivered. Like, I think it was like week 32 or 33, somewhere in there, I had the steroid shots to develop their lungs in case I delivered early. But thankfully, I made it all the way to 39 weeks and 6 days. I went in that morning for my checkup, and they were really concerned about my blood pressure because it was really high. And they had been monitoring me pretty closely with my blood pressure, having me come in more often. And that morning I went in and it was off the charts. Like, it was so high. My midwife was like, I don't care what's going on today, I'm sending you to the hospital to be admitted. Your blood pressure is just so high. I'm very worried about you. I asked her to go ahead and sweep my membrane to get things started because the blood pressure was so high. They were getting really worried. Then I went in and checked into the hospital and I had no pain. I was laboring, but I had zero pain. I was talking, sitting, you know, like walking around the room, bouncing on the ball, laughing, having a good time. And my nurses were coming in like, are you feeling any of this? And I'm like, no, I'm not. And she's like, your contractions are like 2 minutes apart.
Wow.
And you're not feeling any of this. And I was like, no, I don't feel a thing. And I felt fine. And I could feel my stomach tighten, but I had zero pain. Then it came to the point where the doctor came in, and the doctor that was on call, wonderful, wonderful doctor. And she said, listen, we're at a crossroads here. Either we need to hook you up to an IV and give you medication for blood pressure, or we need to break your water because your blood pressure is dangerously high. Mm. We don't want anything to happen to you. And so I opted for them to break my water because I didn't want to be hooked up to an IV. I mean, then the flurry started, you know, like they broke my water and that's when the pain came. Mm-hmm. The contractions were very strong. And then probably, I don't know, I labored for a little bit longer and then I just felt my body go into that transition. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of a sudden you just have this urge to push. And so a flurry of people came in. And the doctor came in, and the doctor was not very well versed on coaching someone to push. It was all about get the baby out as hard and fast as possible.
Sure.
And because of that, Henry, when he was coming out, he was still turning in the birth canal. He didn't have time to position correctly. Mm. And so he came out of the birth canal twisting. And his whole face was bruised across, and then he had a hematoma like thing on the side of his head from scraping the bones coming out. Mm. And I was pushing as hard as I could and fast as I could because that's what I was being told. And also because of that, I tore all four ways.
Oh, wow.
I tore down. I tore side to side, and I also had a second degree clitoral tear all the way up.
Wow.
I was ripped to shreds. I always joke about it and say, Henry kind of came out like the Kool-Aid man through a brick wall.
Mm.
And I totally believe, looking back, that if I had been coached to, sure, you know, push a little bit and just allow the natural way of things, I probably would not have tore as bad. So he came out like that, and he came out screaming, and he hasn't stopped. Oh. He is my little wild child.
So I have all the questions for you. My first question with Henry's birth is, where was your midwife? Was it because your blood pressure was elevated?
It was because of my blood pressure. It was also because there was no midwife on call when I went into labor.
Yeah.
My midwife was not on call. And no other midwife. They shared the practice that I went with. They shared, the doctors and the midwife shared a practice together.
Uh-huh.
And they have a really good relationship. And the doctors there were actually also a little more into natural ways. I'm pretty sure like all the doctors in that practice homeschooled, and the midwives too, like they all homeschooled, they all did more natural things. And so I felt pretty comfortable with allowing one of the doctors to come in and be with me.
And had you met this specific physician?
Yes, I had. Okay. The way their practice is you have to have an appointment with every doctor and midwife in the practice.
Okay.
So that you meet everybody. That way you won't be surprised with a stranger.
Sure.
And this doctor, she was so nice. She's really wonderful. She was hilarious. She had a very awesome humor. And she was just somebody who you could see yourself just sitting with and relaxing and like hanging out with. She didn't have that air of like pride or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish that the pushing would have gone better. Because that was an awful recovery.
What position were you in when you delivered Henry?
I was on my back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was on my back, and I really feel like I didn't have a choice there for that one.
Sure. Well, and with your blood pressure being elevated. Yes,
my blood pressure, I wasn't really allowed to like get up and do anything.
Mm-hmm. How long was your labor with Henry?
I went in at 9 a.m. for my appointment. Got my membrane stripped, and then they broke my water around 2:30, and then I had him at 3:30.
Wow. Your body so, is efficient.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I often, like I've told you this personally before, but I often tend to shy away from telling my birth stories when I'm in like, you know, a group of women that are telling their story, because I always get the comment that, oh, well, you know, you don't have any room to talk because your labors were so fast and wasn't very painful or whatever. And I'm like, no, I have plenty to talk about. You know, it's, I did all of my births natural, no drugs, and they were just really fast.
Have you enjoyed listening to Birthing from the Inside Out podcast? By now, we all know about the algorithm. By leaving your ratings and reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, you'll help other people just like you find the show. Birth transforms us all from the inside out. So by simply following, rating, and reviewing, you'll be helping other families have positive transformational experiences as they carry these stories into their births. Let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor. You're about to experience one of the most important moments of your life, and probably some of the most stressful. Why should you stress more about your windows not being clean, or whether your mother-in-law will judge your dirty siding and the trees growing out of your gutters? Let squeaky clean window washing take some of that stress off your mind before baby comes and before the visitors start showing up at your home. Listeners of Birthing from the Inside Out receive a 10% discount on any service and 20% off bundled services. Visit www.squeakycleanil.com and schedule your stress-free service today. That's www.squeakycleanil.com.
I think the hardest part about Henry was not only the recovery of ripping up, you know, you're worried that you are like for a lifetime, you are deformed now, but thankfully I recovered. Everything is okay. And then I had terrible postpartum depression with Henry because I had Henry right before COVID. Right after Henry was born, he was probably a month and a half old when our country shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have anybody over. I couldn't really do anything. I went into terrible postpartum depression. I would say that that time of that first, you know, year, 6 months, year of Henry's life was probably the darkest times in my entire life. Things were very scary. My husband was scared. I was very depressed. I was suicidal. But the thing was, is I got help. I did get help. I went to my midwife and I said, listen, I'm really, really struggling. I'm very scared. And she asked me some questions like, you know, kind of assessing, you know, where I'm at and things. And I just remember her asking the question, when you're driving, do you feel like veering the car off the side of the road? And I said, yes. And she's like, okay. And we just kind of went from there, and I was put on medication, and I opened up to my husband about everything, like my thoughts and where I was struggling. And I just remember one of the darkest moments was when I was in my room with Henry. He was breastfeeding pretty well, but he also cluster fed like no other. Like, he was on me for like 12 hours at a time, and I just couldn't catch a break. And I remember I was almost in a psychosis at this moment. And I had Henry and me with in the bedroom. He had finally fallen asleep, and I was finally getting something to eat. And I remember my husband coming in and just looking at me, and I was just like not there. My eyes were empty, and I could see in his face like how scared he was. And he was like, I'm going to take Henry and I'm going to bottle feed him. And I was like, no, you know, I was crying. I was like, no, don't do that, you know. And I was almost like a feral animal at that point, like trying to protect my baby. But in the end, I was not doing anything good. And so he was like, I'm taking Henry. I'm going to bottle feed him. He's like, I'm going to take your milk and I'm going to bottle feed him. And I was like, okay. And I finally just let go. And Mark took Henry, and I went to sleep. I think I slept for like, I don't know how long, like 8 hours or something. That was kind of the breaking point where it was like, okay, I need to get help. You know, got help from the midwife, got medicated, started talking about it with a couple friends about how dark and scary things are going on in our house right now. Mm-hmm. And I even had one friend who, she came, like, she dropped everything. She already has 4 kids. She came and took Henry for a night. And, you know, I gave her breast milk and everything. And she went and took Henry for a night so that I could sleep all night. But yeah, just from like the support of my husband, from the support of, you know, my mom and a few close friends, I was able to get through that time. It was really dark and really scary. And that was like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to have more kids after that, because I didn't want to go through that again, because I knew that if I had postpartum like that again, I'm not sure I would have lived.
Mm-hmm. Becky, I'm glad you were able to utilize the help of your midwife and medication in your support system. That is so important when you're recovering from postpartum depression and even postpartum psychosis, like you were mentioning. I've had several, you know, guests on the show talking about maternal mental health and postpartum mental health. And so I think these are the stories that need to be amplified and told, because the more we hear how prevalent these issues are, the more likely women are to get help for their needs. So thank you for speaking your truth and your story and sharing that with our listeners.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad to share it. Mm-hmm. Quinn's birth was probably the cherry on top of the cake, the healing that I needed. Her labor is my favorite. I don't mind saying so. And I was obviously very scared. When Quinn was a surprise, we had not planned on having any more children. We were going to just have the 2 boys and be done. And so Quinn is like my little surprise baby who was like, hey, I'm here to help heal your heart, so let's do this. And I had a healthy pregnancy. One thing that was different about her pregnancy was I had very severe crippling tailbone and lower back pain that started at about 13 weeks and went on throughout my entire pregnancy. But with her, I went to a chiropractor. When I started at 13 weeks, I was going 3 times a week. and then kind of tapered off as my pain got better, because I was not able to walk. I wasn't able to do anything. I was in extreme pain. I have an old tailbone injury from when I was a teenager growing up on the farm with four-wheelers. So this pregnancy, for some reason, flared that up really badly. But the chiro was able to, you know, straighten me out and help me to have a comfortable pregnancy. I also had her at 40 weeks. I went in for my 40-week checkup. And that morning, with the midwives here in Indiana, and I was already like, I don't know, like 4 centimeters dilated that morning, and was having contractions like really, really far apart. Like we're talking, you know, 10, 15 minutes apart. And I said, I definitely think I'm going to have this baby, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. And my midwife said, well, so-and-so is on for tonight, who was my first pick for midwife.
Hmm.
And so I was like, well, I really want to deliver with her, or you, the one I was with in the office, because you two are my first picks to be with. And she said, well, you're already in labor and we can strip your membrane and help things along and you'll have this baby tonight. And I thought about it. And although I'm not a huge fan of, like, you know, making the baby come on your schedule, I was like, I really don't want to labor with anyone else. I want this one to be very special. And so I said, yes, go ahead. I really want to labor with this midwife tonight. So she went ahead and did that. And then I went home and I labored at home all day. My husband was at work and I had the two boys at home, and I just, you know, got up to make their meals for them, walked around the house, in and out of bed, just laboring. I just remember feeling really at peace. Being at home laboring all day, I still just felt such a peace around this birth. And it was very relaxing. Like I was just at home, comfortable, doing my thing. I just felt like, I don't know, I just felt so feminine. Like I'm taking care of my other children while I'm laboring, and just like felt very powerful. And then the contractions started getting closer and closer together. I think it was like 8 o'clock where I called my mom and I said, okay, they're 2 minutes apart. It's time to go to the hospital. And my mom came over and my brother stayed with my two boys. And me and my husband and my mom all went to the hospital.
And were these contractions painful for you, Becky?
You know, not really. They were, but like not overwhelming or, you know, where I just was miserable. It was just like I was breathing through it, walking through them, and just very relaxed and going through it. But these were more painful than what I had experienced prior. And so I went into the hospital, got to my room, and labored there, you know, walked around the room. My midwife was there with me from the moment I entered my room until an hour after I had Quinn.
Mm.
She was absolutely amazing. I could not have been more blessed with her and her presence. She was so calm. She was so loving. She was tender. She was sitting on the bed with me, rubbing my back. Mm. And, you know, what doctor would do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And she was just so wonderful. And I just felt so in charge. And it was ever whatever I wanted. You know, my blood pressure was high, but it wasn't alarming.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember her being so tender. And, you know, do you want to walk? Do you want to get on your hands and knees? What do you want to do? And she was so sweet. And when I had Quinn, I was laying on my side in the hospital bed, just working through some contractions. And then I got the urge to push. So I was like, okay, everybody, it's time. And it was just me naked in a room having this baby. And, you know, my mom was on one side, my husband was on the other. And I had this loving midwife. And I just felt so much peace and love in the room. And I just remember her voice was so sweet. And she was saying, you know, push. And then she would say, stop. And she would say, relax. And she really coached me in such a way of pushing that when I had Quinn, I actually did not tear at all.
That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, she was able to really help me to stretch and get to that point to where she could come out and I wouldn't rip. When I had Quinn, they immediately put her up onto my chest. And she was just the sweetest little baby. I think it was also the first time where I had those feelings of instant love, where I hadn't had that before. When she got into my arms, it was like, oh my gosh, I love this baby with all of my heart. And was instant connection. And she just laid on my chest and she was so sweet. And the other cool thing that I got to do with this labor, I had done delayed cord with Henry, but with this one, I got to do the delayed cord clamping, but also was able to deliver the placenta and then keep her connected to it for a while, which was really cool. I have this awesome photo of Quinn where they put the placenta on the bed and then she's still connected to it and they put her next to it. And it's just such an awesome photo because she's still connected to this organ that I created. And you can see all of the veins and this, like, almost like a tree of life. And that is my favorite picture. And she was on my chest and they didn't even take her until, like, it was like an hour or more after I had her. And then they took her over and clamped her off and cut the cord. And she nursed almost right away. And she was an excellent nurser. Like, she did really well at breast. We just really clicked in a lot of ways. I would just say that, you know, her birth and my experience with her and my postpartum even was really, I mean, I had some moments with my postpartum just because being a mom is hard. But I wouldn't say I had postpartum depression with her. I really feel like her pregnancy, my labor with her and after was a very healing experience that I needed to recover from all of my past things I had struggled with the boys. So Quinn really, really brought this peace to my motherhood that, you know, was just a great ending to having babies. And, you know, we're done now. We don't plan on having any more children for sure. So it was just a great cherry on top with her.
You have shared a lot with us about how your births have transformed you.
Yes.
And I'm really curious, what pulled you through or inspired you through those transformative experiences?
I thought a lot about this question because I was really struggling with how to answer it. But I definitely would say my main rock who really helped me through everything would be my husband. I mean, it seemed like he was always on the other side of something with his hand out to pull me through whatever I was dealing with. And also just discovering my femininity and really connecting to that power. Like I had said before, I've always been a tomboy. I don't wear makeup. I'm not girly at all. And I've always thought that those material things were what femininity is. And when I had my babies and was going through all those experiences, just feeling that raw feminine power of, like, I am a woman, I am carrying these babies, I am growing them, I grew an organ to nourish them, and I had them, then I used my body again to nourish them and grow them. And that's really, like, what helped me to feel very powerful and very feminine and to grasp hold of that and how strong I really am. And just feeling those things is what really helped pull me through. Like, I'm strong and I can do this, and, you know, men can't do this, and we can do this amazing thing. And just feeling so feminine and so much like a woman and really helped pull me through those things.
And how does the transformative experiences of feeling that femininity and coming into yourself as a woman, how does that affect your life now?
That's a tough question. I would say just it gave me the strength to just become the mother that I am. And now I use that strength to, you know, guide my children. And I also homeschool. You know, I have one homeschooling and then I have one that just started preschool. And so I'm doing two right now. And, you know, just thinking about what I've accomplished so far just helps me to get through, like, you know, another day of heart if I'm having a bad day of mothering. And so just knowing where I've come from and that all ties in together too, that I can continue to be this mother that I am.
Becky, could you share one thing that you loved about your birthing experiences?
One thing that I really loved, well, obviously I just got talking about Quinn's birth, but I think the thing that I really loved about her birth was the fact that she was able to be on my chest and, you know, dirty and everything, you know, filthy, all of the things that come with birth and labor. And, you know, we're there together just in our mess and feeling that extreme peace and love, and just seeing her crawl to breast and nurse. Just that moment of her, like, first hour of life is so precious to me. And feeling just all of that love and peace, and having my mother there too. She was there for my labors, and to have her there as this matriarch, you know, and to have my husband there, and to have his, you know, masculinity there, the strong pillar, and to have such a loving team. It definitely was probably my favorite thing from my birth, is just that first hour of her life and how wonderful it was.
What is one thing that you wish you knew or that you want expectant families to know before they give birth?
I would just say to do research on your own. Like, I like to, you know, go online, research, read, get my hands on things and read them. And also to read people's stories, birth stories, is so powerful. Like, I've been listening to this podcast. I listen to other things where women are telling their birth stories. I always love when people tell me their birth story. You can gain so much just from hearing birth stories. And the other thing too is to let go of your expectations a little bit, in the sense of birth is very unpredictable. And you are definitely not in charge as far as, like, when the baby's coming, you know, what's going to happen. I definitely, you know, encourage to make a plan, a birth plan. It's so nice to write it out, your expectations and things like that. But then to also say, these are my expectations, but in case of an emergency, I need to be able to let those go and go with the flow, really. And also to not be afraid to get help after you have the baby. Like, do not be afraid to talk to somebody. Do not be afraid to go to your provider and say, I think I need medicine. I think I need help. Go to therapy. I still, to this day, I see a therapist once a month, just to help with life. And so definitely do not be scared of that. And don't think it makes you less than. It makes you stronger to say, hey, I need to talk to somebody. I need to get help.
Becky, your story is so powerful. Just want to thank you for sharing your transformative experience with us. I know you were talking about reading birth stories and having a plan and listening to podcasts. So thank you so much for stepping out and sharing your stories. And I know that your stories are going to impact others as they listen, and they will glean some insights from your experiences. So I appreciate so much that you've taken the time to be with us today and to share all that you were willing to share, and everything from the unexpected to it seems like the peaceful, healing birth that you needed to kind of wrap up and finish your family off. So thank you so much for your time and for preparing for today, Becky.
You're very welcome. I am so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
I love how powerful stories are in our lives, how much they can change a person, how our stories tell others about who we are and where we are headed, and not just how much those stories can change us, but also change the trajectory of our lives. Thank you for spending time in your day to dive deep into stories of how birth has transformed all of us from the inside out.